This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
It does have a point in connection with the message that says very few things in life happen immediately overnight. Most things take time. Think about relationships that you've had, relationships that you have now. Things got better over a period of time and things got worse. Perhaps is the case over time. Nothing happens quickly, or very few things happen quickly in relationships, in business, whether a business goes up or down, whether a job situation changes. There are times when things happen immediately or in a day or an hour. But most things in life take time to develop. And so it is with a person's belief system. I'm not naive enough to think that a man or woman can walk in this building on a Sunday morning, they've never heard the gospel before, they've never heard a message proclaimed before, and then expect them to just respond immediately. I realize that it takes time. That every Sunday I'm planting seeds, and then for some people, that day comes, that hour comes, where they do say to themselves privately, Jesus is who he claims to be. This stuff is true. Jesus is not some historical figure from the past that we kind of reverence or revere. He happens to be who he claims to be. He's Lord. And that becomes a defining moment, but it doesn't usually happen overnight. It happens over weeks and months, and for some people even years. And you can testify that that was the case in your life. I used to say something that I've changed in my thinking. I've expanded. Here's what I used to say as a younger minister, that behind every minister or preacher is a spirit. Behind every teacher is a spirit. Behind every teaching is a spirit. I'm going to expand that in a minute, but it's certainly true with preacher and teacher and teachings. Because we're going to read today from the letter of 1 John, where the Apostle John says, test the spirits to see if they're from God, because you see, there is a spirit of truth. But he said, I've got to tell you, there's also a spirit of deception, a spirit of falsehood, a spirit of error. And all those words are used in the original meaning of that word, deception. So I want you to read what I consider to be one of the most important passages in the whole Bible, and not just 1 John. We're studying the book of 1 John for 5 weeks. We're in chapter 4 today. The series is called Light, Love, and Life, and today's title, It Is What It Is. It Is What It Is. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Underline that. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God, and this is so important. You need to underline this if you do underline. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint or mindset, the culture of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. A spirit of truth or a spirit of falsehood.
Well, this message from 1 John, the 4th chapter, will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope, same time, same place.
The older I get, the more I realize how there is very few things in life that are spiritually neutral. I used to have this naive attitude that movies were spiritually neutral. I don't believe that anymore. I used to think that every song that came down the pike was spiritually neutral. That's not true. I used to think every book, every TV show was spiritually neutral. And now I'm starting to say, instead of behind every teacher or preacher is a spirit. Now I believe this, behind every movie you see is a spirit. Behind every TV show you watch is a spirit. Behind every book you read is a spirit. Behind everything in this life, in the media, I believe is a spirit. And it matters what you read. It matters what you watch. It matters what you allow into your body and to your mind through your senses. Through your senses. I'm going to give you a dramatic example. In fact, somebody complained this illustration was too strong. But I'll tell you, it makes a point. You won't forget it. It may be a little over the top, but I want to give an example of how in movies and in music, there's a spirit behind that. Here's the movie. It was reviewed in the Washington Post newspaper some time ago. It was the review was reprinted either in USA Today or one of the Ohio newspapers. And I'm not even going to give you the title of the movie because I don't want to even promote the movie. But the main character in this movie is a satanic-like creature or person, very evil-looking. And there's a scene in the movie, according to the review, where this person totally destroys a Catholic church, just wiping every icon off its stand and destroying the church, breaking out the windows. And then in this dramatic scene, he murders the priest right in the sanctuary by the altar. And then he stands victorious over the dead priest and looks in the camera and with this evil look says, "I am the way. I am the way." Here's my question. What spirit was behind that movie? Do you want to be naive enough and say, that's entertainment? That's entertainment? That movie is entertainment? There's a spirit behind every movie. In my opinion now, there's a spirit. Spirit of truth or spirit of deception or falsehood, according to John. There was an album came out by a particular group several years ago. The reviewer noted that in this one CD, one album of this group, there were 300 sexual references, crude sexual references, profanity, blasphemy, in this one CD. 300 in this one album. And here's my question. Is that spiritually neutral? No. Can you honestly be naive enough to say that's spiritually neutral? It's just music, it's just entertainment. No, you see, it's not just behind every teacher or preacher is a spirit behind every piece of music. In my opinion now, I believe this, is a spirit of truth or a spirit of deception. Let's bring up verses 2 and 3 again because this is the crux of the whole message right here, verses 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. This is the litmus test. For any preacher, any teaching, somebody comes to the door, the first thing I want to know is, if he wants to talk Christianity or religion, what do you believe about Jesus? Why? Nothing else matters after that. This is the litmus test. For any preacher, any teaching, somebody comes to the door, the first thing I want to know is, if he wants to talk Christianity or religion, what do you believe about Jesus? Why? Nothing else matters after that. I don't care how moral they want to talk about how we should be and moral purity and moral goodness and obeying God's law or whatever. Just tell me one thing for starters. What do you teach? What do you believe about who Jesus Christ is? And John says, if they don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord, if they don't acknowledge that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, then it's not from God. You say, that's pretty narrow. Yeah, it is. And one of the decisions that somebody may have to make today is that you're going to look at that narrow viewpoint and say, you know what? I think and I do believe that, that it is that simple, that there is either a spirit of truth or a spirit of falsehood behind something. There is nothing that is totally spiritually neutral. The crucial test of any teaching is simply this. Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And it's more than a mental acknowledgement. It's more than mental assent saying, yeah, I suppose I believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Acknowledgement has to do with everything you are as a man. It has to do with you being a husband. It has to do with you being a father, a wife, a mother, a single person. You acknowledge the lordship of Christ in your life. That's what it means to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Some of you, a lot of you, probably like the other two services, come from a Methodist background. You have somebody in your family, your parents, grandparents. I made a joke in the first service that everybody I know, they have an uncle or a grandfather, a great-grandfather who was a circuit riding preacher in the Methodist Church. There's a lot of Methodist heritage in Ohio in churches, and I understand that. So I tell you that so you'll understand the reference to John Wesley. John Wesley said something very profound about this passage, and I want to read it to you. He said, "Don't hastily ascribe things to God. Don't easily suppose that your dreams, your voices, your impressions, your visions, your revelations are automatically from God. They may be, but they also could be from nature," he said, "and they also could be from Satan. Therefore, don't believe every spirit," he says, "but try the spirits to see whether they be from God." He goes on to say that we must never assume that we are immune to Satan's deception because of our spiritual maturity or exemplary devotional life. Jesus himself, while in the midst of a 40-day period of fasting and prayer, was subject to the deceptions of the devil. Even though he never gave in, he was tested and tempted by Satan. Here's the point I'm making. I've met men who trust more in their gut instincts than they do this book called the Bible. I've met women who say, "I just trust my intuitive feelings, my intuitive nature, more than I trust the Bible. I just trust my intellect. I just trust my wisdom, my discernment, more than I trust the Lord." Let me tell you something. You're walking on dangerous ground if you're describing yourself. I'm not the answer to all my problems, and neither are you. I don't have all the answers to all the problems of creation, neither do you. And the most spiritual moment in a man's life, in my opinion, a woman's life, can be when they realize they're not God, but Jesus Christ is. I'm not God, but Jesus Christ is God, God in the flesh.
Well, that's a strong statement, my friend, but I believe it to be 100% true. Jesus Christ claimed to be God in the flesh. He made the claim, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," which to me is the most incredible thing Jesus said. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, to continue this message.
Some of you are familiar with what's called speedboat racing. Down in Madison, Indiana, a little town on the Ohio River, once a year, they have a big speedboat race, and you can watch these boats race on the Ohio River at tremendous speeds. So they're high-powered engines, aerodynamically designed boats, and it's really impressive to watch. Unfortunately, they're very volatile, and if the person behind the wheel makes a mistake, death can result either to the driver or to people in the stands, as was the case in Madison, Indiana, when one of those boats went up into the stands at a high rate of speed and severely injured some people. Mark Rader from Palmyra, Illinois, talks about a speedboat driver he knew who survived a racing accident. He had been at near top speeds when his boat veered slightly in one direction and hit a wave at a dangerous angle. The combined force of his speed and the size and angle of the wave sent his boat spinning crazily in the air. You've seen the videos of that. The speedboat's just spinning in the air or going end over end, either way. He was thrown from the seat and propelled so deeply into the water that Mark Rader said the man had no idea which direction the surface was. He didn't know if it was right or left, above him or below him. He just had no sense which way up was. But he only had to wait. He had to be calm, he said, and just wait for the buoyancy of his life vest to gradually move him to the top. And then he realized where the surface was and he could swim to it. I think you know where I'm going. We live in a world today that morally and ethically and theologically, we're just spinning out of control. And we live in a day that Isaiah the prophet would describe in Isaiah 5:20. He said the day would come when good would be called evil and evil would be called good. We're there. We have arrived. That day is here. We live in a culture where you stand for what's right, what's biblical, and you're called evil. And what is abhorrent to the Lord, what's evil, is called good. We're living in what Isaiah prophesied thousands of years ago. Where do you get your stability emotionally? Where do you get your stability, your foundation spiritually? It's from the Word of God. It's the life vest that tells us where the surface is, so to speak, to use that analogy. And the decision that some man needs to make today, a woman needs to make today, is to believe that what John the Apostle said in 1 John 4 is true, that we either acknowledge Jesus as Lord or we don't. And there is a spirit of truth in life, and there's a spirit of deception and falsehood and error, is what the word literally means, error. And that there is no such thing as spiritual neutrality with most things. There are a few things in life that I think are spiritually neutral. But the older I get and the more I see in our culture, I'm finding very few movies that are spiritually neutral. I'm finding very few songs that are written are spiritually neutral. I'm finding very few books that are written are spiritually neutral. There's a spirit behind everything. Everything in this culture, I'll leave you with this thought, is spiritually driven. Everything is. We live in a spiritually driven culture. And just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's Christian. And just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's biblical. Well, with those thoughts, we'll conclude the message today. We do want you to hear the message tomorrow as it concludes this fourth message in a series from the epistle or letter of 1 John. If you would like to hear a part of this message you've missed, you do know you can go to our national website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to find out how you can be a part of this ministry as well as listen to messages you've missed on Crosshope. God bless you and thanks for listening. This is an interesting thought. Over the years, I've had this conversation many times, so there's no point in even trying to figure out, well, I wonder who he's talking about. I've had this happen dozens and dozens of times where a man or woman has been in my office, and here's what they've said. They've looked me dead in the eye in all sincerity and seriousness and say, Randy, I know what I'm about to do or the relationship I'm in. I know it's wrong. I know I'm doing some things that are wrong, but I really believe God led me into this situation. Randy, I honestly believe God led me into this relationship, and I always have the same response. I said, let me get this straight. You believe that God would lead you to do something that would violate his word. Yeah, I guess that's a way of putting it. And my question is this, why would God make an exception with you or me? And say, I'm going to lead you to do something, to be something that violates the will and the word of God. My point is, if God did that, do you know what that makes God? A liar. God would be a liar. He would not be true to his word, which is another way of saying he wouldn't be true to himself. Did you know that Satan can manipulate your feelings? Did you know that Satan can manipulate your emotions? Satan can manipulate your mind, your intellect. Did you know he's described as the father of all lies by Jesus himself? Do you know what that means? Every lie that's ever been told, including the lies you told this week or I've told, can trace their DNA back to Satan. Would you listen to that again? If Satan being the father of all lies means that every lie you and I have ever told can trace its DNA, so to speak, figuratively speaking, back to the father of all lies, then that is Satan. Carl Sagan was an astronomer that I used to love to hear interviewed. I used to love to hear him talk about the cosmos. And by the way, that's the word, the Greek word for the word world that we read today in this passage. And the word that the Apostle John uses, love not the world. He's saying, love not the cosmos. That's literally what he's saying. But Carl Sagan would say this about the cosmos, the universe. This is really intriguing. He said, the cosmos was, is, and the only thing that ever will be. You know what? That sounds very intellectual, but it's a lie. It sounds very intelligent, but I believe it to be a lie. The cosmos is not what was and is and the only thing to be. The Bible says the cosmos will pass away. and all its desires. But the Word of God lives forever. What's eternal is Jesus Christ, who's described in Hebrews as the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think what Carl Sagan was saying, my God is the cosmos. Your God may be Jesus, but his God was the cosmos, as the only thing that was, is, and ever will be. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus was and is, and is the only thing eternally that will be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The last verse of the previous chapter says we have the Spirit of God in us. The Holy Spirit in you, get this, can recognize the Holy Spirit in something else or anything. The Holy Spirit who lives in you recognizes the Spirit. Test the spirits to see if they be from God. And basically, as narrow-minded as this sounds, John says this, it's either the spirit of truth or the spirit of falsehood, deception. That's the choice. Let's pray together.
Well, next week on Cross Hope, we continue this series, a brief series from the Epistle or Letter of 1 John. Crosshope.org is our website. Go there to listen to any message you've missed, but also go there to find out how you can become a part of this ministry. We call Cross Hope Radio. God bless you.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.